after we left here yesterday. You know, I'm following all this free agency and the trades and everything that are going on. That is going on. And by the way, the Boston Celtics are, I guess, just dismantling the whole team.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people thought it would happen, but maybe not this drastically or dramatically. But yes,
well, new owners and expected balloon payments and all sorts of crazy contracts. So I'm not saying that they're going to be terrible, because I think Brad Stevens knows what he's doing, and I think he's being told. And I think he's being told probably by the new ownership that we got to, you know, get this under control, especially with Jason Tatum most likely missing the entire season. So it seems like, it feels like right now as we sit here, that the Boston Celtics, you know, are essentially punting on this season, upcoming season.
Yeah.
That's what it really feels like that way to me. Now, there's certain teams that, like the Dallas Mavericks, they go after D'Angelo Russell. They know that they're not going to have Kyrie Irving, so they make a smart move by bringing in a quality player. He's certainly not Kyrie Irving, but a smart player nonetheless, and he can handle that position. And you know, who knows what's going to happen with Cooper Flagg down there and what they're trying to rebuild into. But when I think about what the Knicks are doing and about what you said yesterday morning, making us realize what Rich Paul was saying after LeBron opted into his $52.6 million contract. And once he opts in, that means that told me that Rich Paul didn't have anything else for LeBron. You know, there wasn't anybody out there clamoring for him.
Yeah, but this is, which I totally agree with yesterday, but I did hear Brian Windhorst say last night that he reached out to a few teams, Windhorst did, and asked them, teams that would make sense for LeBron James, right, and asked them, did you have any idea about this, or was it even on your radar? And each one of them said, no, we were caught completely flat-footed with this. So it almost seems as if...
they weren't contacted by Rich Paul at
yes,
all.
Yes, it almost seems like we're going to opt in, we're going to put the pressure on the Lakers, you're going to get more money by opting in, and then if the Lakers have a, you know, they brick their offseason, then we'll put you out there on the trade block. That's what it feels like to me, that he didn't contact the teams, just from the sense that, of what Windhorst had said, that everybody was caught off guard.
Could you imagine calling the Cavaliers and then telling Brian Windhorst, oh, you know, we really didn't have any interest? Or if they called Milwaukee, well, we really didn't have any interest. We don't want LeBron. I mean,
true.
I can't imagine anybody, admitting that they did not want LeBron James for whatever 2 years, $81 million, kind of like what the James Harden deal was. Even though James Harden actually got a raise, LeBron may have had to take less money. But overall, over the 2 years, it would have been more than $52.6 million.
Yes, right. And then, I mean, 1 year of LeBron sounds okay. I mean, it doesn't sound great to me. It sounds okay with the way he played last year. 2 years does not sound great at all. And, of course, one of his former coaches, Mike Brown, came in for a second interview with the Knicks, as he is now the leader in the clubhouse. So, I don't want to say that this is a crazy idea with LeBron James. I also don't want to say that it's likely, but you can't tell me, because also in the reporting about the Jordan Clarkson deal, Rich Paul called the Knicks about Jordan Clarkson and said, hey, you know, there's going to be a buyout situation here. You guys interested? They were interested.
Yes.
Now, remember, Rich Paul and Leon Rose had a miserable relationship for a long time. And they got together before last season, and they patched that whole thing up.
Oh,
so
cool.
Now they're talking. So now you get Rich Paul calling up. You cannot tell me that when Rich Paul called up about Jordan Clarkson, there wasn't a, hey, what are we doing here with LeBron? What was that whole statement about? Huh? Like, do you really want to move him?
I would think that there would have been a conversation.
100%.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, again, the question that I have is, since the Knicks really can't do anything, they're hamstrung. And plus, they have to figure out what they're doing with Mikal Bridges. Everybody tends to forget this.
Yeah, that he needs a contract.
He's a contract extension eligible player right now.
Yeah.
And the Knicks have got to decide how much they're willing to pay him. And I'm sure that his side wants a max contract, but I can't imagine that the Knicks would say, yeah, we're going to give you a max contract. I mean,
not right now. No way. You can't.
But again, that is, you have to take that into account. You have to realize that could there be trades coming in order to facilitate that contract extension, and you're not trading for a guy like Mikal Bridges with all the assets you gave up to get him without signing him, are you?
No. I mean, unless he was a total disaster, which he was not. He was disappointing.
I thought he got better as the season went on, and I thought he had a pretty decent playoffs.
Sure. But, I mean, you're not just hanging on to him for the fact that you gave up the picks. I mean, he's got to show you something, and hopefully next year will be better. And there's also some of the reports about, you know, we think, is there something bigger coming? Is there something brewing?
That's what I think, man.
The LeBron thing we've talked about. We also heard how the Knicks pulled themselves out of the Kevin Durant thing because of several reasons, one of which might have been that they were thinking bigger, which could have been a Giannis if they were trying to figure that out, and the Kevin Durant thing was happening quick, and they weren't too confident in the Giannis thing being a closed door, so they kept that open. So I do think they're going to try to shoot for the stars. Now, one thing that I'm a little bit tired of hearing, and Leon Rose has done an amazing job here, and I don't know how involved he was with the firing of Thibodeau. And Leon Rose has been great. He's been a huge part of this thing, if not the biggest part of this thing, turning
90%
around.
90% of everything he's done has been fine.
Right.
But a couple bad signings. And,
well, this is what I was about to bring up.
There's no fan engagement.
Right. But, like, this is what. So, when everybody says you got to trust with Leon Rose, you know, everything he's done, you got to trust him. He had one miserable offseason that we forget because everything's been pretty good after that.
That's true.
He had the Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier offseason. So he is capable of botching
one. But he lost out to somebody. Who did he lose out on in order to turn to those two guys? He lost out on, I forget who it was. There was somebody he wanted, and that person either went for more money somewhere else, and then he had a switch. Maybe it was a draft situation. I forget what it was. I felt like Kemba Walker and Fournier were like plan B or C.
Gordon Hayward was a free agent that year. I know, remember talking about that, but I'm not sure if he was the one.
There was something where he had to do something. He had some money to spend, and he ended up spending it on those guys. But that was not his original targets. I felt like he just did it just to make sure that he had two professional players on the roster. And that was the one thing that you have to remember, that was a bad decision. So
I just hope we're not headed. And when you say it wasn't his original targets, that reminds me of something that's going on right now. The head coach
and everything else, which also could lead us down a road of just complete disaster. I'm assuming that there's consultation with some of the players. I'm assuming that, you know, Rick Brunson's involved in some of this. World Wide West is right in the middle of all this. I mean, you know, that's another thing when you think about World Wide West and his influence and the things that are going on. But one thing I will say, like, and I was thinking about this yesterday, in terms of fan engagement, you know, a lot of these teams are pulling back. The Jets are pulling back. The Knicks have pulled back for 4 years now. You know, and when I talk about fan engagement, I'm not talking about the coach talking after games, or I'm talking about the general manager. I'm talking about the team. Like, even like the team social media thing is, you know, just kind of bland. There's nothing there. And I think most of the fan engagement now comes from the players themselves. Like when Josh and Jalen are doing their podcast.
Yeah.
You know, that's fan engagement, you know, but it's just those two guys. I mean, the Knicks aren't doing anything. You don't hear those guys really talking about, you know, coach firings. You don't hear them talking about hiring different players. You don't, you know, or trading away. You know, you don't get any of that stuff. And right now, I mean, like, I think most teams around, I feel anyway, especially teams like the Knicks who are going to sell out 19,000 every night anyway, their front office has been told to disengage. It has completely disengaged from the fan base. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think in some ways it's a good thing. And I think in some ways it's great for the Jets that they've done it too. Like, have you heard from Darren Mooji at all? Do you even know who he is?
Yeah, just the couple times that he has to speak at the combine. I mean, he is completely boring, and he's not going to say anything. And they're really trying to. I mean, Joe Douglas was the same way. I mean, Joe Douglas didn't say. He hung out with us at Boomer and Geo Live. That was sort of the extent of his entertainment value. I mean, he was behind the scenes too. Most general managers are, but Leon Rose is a guy who never speaks, like ever, ever, ever. You know, at least Darren Mooji is fulfilling the things that you're supposed to do. I guess the NBA doesn't have the same rules about general managers speaking. And where the Knicks are right now, I mean, unless there's something out there that I haven't found because I've been looking for it, but where the Knicks right now, where they are, is unprecedented. There's never been an NBA team that has gone into NBA free agency without a head coach. Nobody's ever done that. So they're the one.
Yeah, but this tells me one of two things. The one thing it tells me is that they're running it back with everybody that was on this team last year. You know, that significantly had an impact. Maybe not the bottom three or four guys. They're going to bring the young guys back. That means Mitch is probably coming back. That means McBride is coming back. And then this new guy who they're going to sign.
Jordan Clarkson,
right?
Yep.
Off of the Utah Jazz. All right. So, and then they're going to run it back with the starting five. That to me is one thing that they're going to do. And they're just going to try to find the right coach that's going to fit with the group of guys that they're keeping here. Or is there a mammoth trade with Karl Anthony Towns being sent to, let's say if Mike Brown comes here, where was he before here?
Sacramento.
Is there some sort of trade that you would make with Sacramento that a couple players that he would like on this team as opposed to Karl Anthony Towns? Because what we saw from Karl Anthony Towns, while he was a double-double and he was a really, really good player for the most part, some of the dumb things he was doing in the playoffs made no sense. It's like he just snapped mentally at certain times, and you're like, what? What? I mean, it was alarming, some of the things that he was doing, to the point, if we all remember this, where they win a game in Indianapolis, I think it was, and he's the post-game player of the game with TNT, and those guys are asking him about it.
Well, they're telling him that what he's doing is ridiculous, yeah, and he's agreeing with them. So I think that this regime with Leon Rose and World Wide West love Karl Anthony Towns, and they want to make it work with him. So that would surprise me.
All right, so then that's it. Now it's just about a coach. It's not about any free agents.
Well, I mean, unless the LeBron, because we did match the money yesterday with the LeBron James Lakers deal without Karl Anthony Towns in it, unless they do something like that where it's OG Anunoby and Mitchell Robinson for LeBron and Maxi Kleber and maybe something like that. Let me ask you this one. What about bringing in Al Horford? I understand he's 100 years old, but he could still really get it done.
Other
champion mentality.
I'd love to have him, but I think other teams want him too.
Well, of course, but you would like that. You wouldn't say
no. I wouldn't say anything. He's a quality guy that's going to play 10 minutes a night.
But I mean,
he could start for you if you need him to start. If like Karl Anthony Towns is going to take a break here or there, you know, he could start for you. Mitch could start for you. I mean, assuming you're keeping Mitch, but I
think that's like a stability big guy in there that would really, really help this team.
And he can shoot.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be, obviously we talk about youth and up and down and all that stuff. You wouldn't have him there for any of that. But he's a guy just feel like settle things down when they get crazy. You know, when guys, you know, when Josh Hart's going nuts. Or
is he like 39 years old?
Yeah, I mean, he's up there now.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's just, isn't that why they brought in P.J. Tucker?
Well, no, totally different. I mean, P.J. Tucker wasn't really, I mean, playing.
I know he wasn't playing, but I thought he was supposed to be a...
No, he was like an edgy guy.
Okay.
He was like a attitude guy more than a calming influence.
Well, they must not have liked him because they didn't re-sign him.
Yeah. Yeah, 39. So he just turned 39.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't, you know, they don't have much room to do anything, and I don't know what he would expect. Somebody will give him a contract. To me, like, everybody's leaving the Lakers. Luke Kornet left the Lakers for a 4-year deal.
Yeah, I mean,
he got a 4-year. God bless him.
I mean, the Celtics you're talking about, not the Lakers. Yeah.
So he left there and went to the Spurs, I believe.
Yes.
For a 4-year deal. That, I mean, God bless that kid because he was here.
He was here,
and then all of a sudden became a pain in the ass in the playoffs. I mean, he was a really good role player for the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, that team is, it's definitely,
they're punting, man.
It seems like it without their star. It does seem like that is something that's going on.
They're going to retool they're going to have to spend a lot of money on Jaylen Brown this year. And obviously, Tatum's not going to play. They got rid of Jrue Holiday. Kornet's gone. Porzingis is gone. I mean, they're just punting on this season.
Yeah. So
it feels that way.
So the options, you know, and the Celtics could still bring back Horford, but if you're Horford, you're like, man, if this is what you're doing this year.
No. I want to go to one of these Eastern Conference teams that I think I can win with, or, you know, does Oklahoma City need a, you know, a backup center?
So the ones that I'm looking at here, reportedly interested, the Knicks, the Warriors, the Cavs, and the Nuggets, which are all pretty good options for him. I mean, if you're thinking about any of those, he'd be happy and in contention. So,
but you know, to me, I think he I don't know. I guess it depends on how much money and what kind of term he gets. And, you know, it would be great for the Knicks, but I don't know.
And maybe he goes out to L.A. because they're complaining about not having a big man out there, you know, after the Anthony Davis trade that they can trust. And maybe that's the move that LeBron ends up staying there for, even though it's not like you're getting a 28-year-old Al Horford. But, yeah, I don't know. Just keep an eye. The biggest thing to keep an eye on in this offseason is what the Lakers are doing. But especially this year. Pay attention, and if they are sitting there and they're not doing a thing and it's just complete quiet over there in L.A., that means LeBron's gone.
I just feel like both the Knicks and the Rangers are hamstrung when it comes to free agency right now.
Yeah, but we always say these things, and then the cap is so weird. They figure things out, and they got to pay more taxes and all those things. Yeah. Like you could always make trades. You could always find mid-level exceptions in the NBA. All of these things.
Yeah, well, hockey you can make trades. There's no question about that. And the Rangers would have to make a trade to be able to fit some of the players that are rumored to be coming here, and to be able to sign a couple of their own restricted free agents if somebody doesn't come after them. But like I was telling you yesterday. You know, Mitch Marner was going to the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yep.
And I told you that, it was going to be a sign and trade. And the reason it's a sign and trade is because the Vegas Knights could give him 8 years. So if he signs with his original team, he signs the 8-year deal, and then they trade him to the Vegas Golden Knights. And they actually get something back for him, which was a smart move by the Toronto Maple Leafs, because they couldn't afford $12 million a year, which is what he got. In Vegas, in Nevada, a state-free, state tax-free state. So there are six teams in the NHL that are dealing with this. And I don't care what Gary Bettman says. When you look at some of these contracts that some of the guys from Florida are signing and going to, you know, Vegas, in order to meet that number that Mitch Marner just got from Vegas, the Rangers have to pay him like $15 million a year.
Yeah, it's tough.
You got to tell me there isn't a competitive imbalance because of the nature of where these teams play and the tax implications that are now a part of this. And also, the same thing goes for the NBA. You know, this is why guys want to go to Dallas. This is why guys want to play in Florida. This is why guys, and if they are married and they have kids, they'd rather live in flip-flop weather than living in, you know, like 5 months of wintertime north of the border.
Yes.
And paying provincial taxes and federal
Edmonton,
taxes and
Winnipeg, got all those places for sure. Yeah, tough. Very tough.
So the NHL's got to do something about it. They don't. You're going to have every year, Dallas, Vegas, Florida, Tampa, they're all going to be in the playoffs. Just because the good players are going to want to play there, and they'll take a little bit less money.